Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is December 22nd. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dobb hanging out with you. And what is our final show of this holiday week? It's Tuesday, and that's not normally our final day of the week. But holidays move the schedule around a little bit, and we promise you a couple of things. Sunday, Fantasy Football Now is going to be action-packed with all of the information you need to know. And in the meantime, social media will be a-buzzin'. We'll have it all. And Thursday, there's a DFS podcast. Sorry, Daniel was mouthing to me. I couldn't tell. That was done by me.
Yeah. There'll be a week 16 edition of Love Hate out on Thursday.
Love it. Don't hate it at all.
Appreciate that.
So we have a big day. We're going to preview as much as we can. Obviously, understanding that other than, I think, maybe the Saints and Vikings are the only teams that will officially practice today. Everything else is, of course, teams still gearing up their game planning on Tuesdays for their Saturday, Sunday, or Monday night games. A couple of housekeeping notes here. Are you okay?
So, no, like, so
I
if
think,
I may-
wait, I'm going to interrupt. Yeah. We have the breaking news drop.
Yeah, you bet.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
All right.
I would like
Stefania,
to break
what's
some news. I mean, this is my wheelhouse.
Let's be honest.
100%. There's
ahead,
some
Stefania.
Major injury news on the Fantasy Focus podcast. Our fearless leader, Matthew Berry.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Going to say.
Me a little bit.
Suffered the same injury as George Kittle.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, two elite athletes dealing with the same problem at the same time.
It is uncanny, you know, and George Kittle is still not playing.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know who's here 2-3 days after the injury? And actually was here yesterday, although it was not pretty to watch him walk in. But he was here yesterday. He's in a walking boot. He's here to play. Matthew Berry. Going on the IR.
Yeah, if anyone's watching, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
We were worried we were going to have to put you down for a minute like a horse, but luckily, you know.
Yeah. I just thought of this, too.
Okay, Beth thought about it. Beth is still looking for options.
Beth is still thinking about it.
Yeah, she's trying to figure out. Yeah.
She's checking the insurance.
Right, exactly. For anyone that's watching on the live stream or watching it, you can see the walking boot that I'm wearing now. You know, we did a skit on the Fantasy Show on Friday on Fantasy Show and ESPN Plus on Friday, where it's a long story, but it involved me pretending to be a kid, and I had the hoodie and the backwards hat and a skateboard, and you know what? Men my age should not be on skateboards.
What did they wear when you were a kid? When you were a kid, like, what did you guys wear? Like bonnets or something?
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly. It was it's all in black and white, so it's hard to tell.
Yes.
And I was in snow boots too. That was the other thing. I was in big snow boots on Friday because we had that big snowstorm. So I mean, trying to ride a skateboard when I probably haven't ridden a skateboard in 25 years in snow boots wasn't great. I actually just posted it on my Twitter if you guys want to go check it out. But anyway, so I fall off. You know, I fall head over heels, and so my foot was hurting, and then. It was hurting, and then, I mean, you guys saw me on Sunday. Like, I could barely walk. I was, like, limping around throughout during commercial breaks on the show. And
the jokes wrote themselves.
And then in the war room. And so yesterday, I was in a lot of pain. Literally couldn't put any weight down on my right foot. So I went to the orthopedist yesterday. By the way, the physician's assistant at the place that I went, Alan, big fan of the 06010. Nice. As soon as I walked in, huge fan of the podcast, listens every day. And so what I did is after they took x-rays and they explained it to me and he used a lunch and I said, do me a favor. Will you write this down for Stefania so she can explain it to me? And he said, yes. And he totally understood. And so called Stefania last night and she's like, oh my God, you have George Kittle's injury.
Oh, I mean, and the comparisons, they extend far beyond the injury you guys are doing too, right?
Well, sure. I mean, both of us obviously, you know, in the prime, you know, hoping to get paid. Exactly. Career year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot was expected from both of us this year by fantasy managers.
Yeah,
both of us have disappointed. Yeah, exactly.
Really
so, apparently, as Stefania explained, tell me if I got this right, Stefania.
George Kittle has not played since week 8. If you're watching on the stream, you can see it in the topic bar there. George Kittle went on injured reserve. Matthew,
has not made a good call since week 8? Entirely possible.
Wow, the comments are probably on fire right now.
But anyway, apparently, so George's, in all seriousness, George's injury was actually more serious than mine. His was a more of a midfoot sprain. Mine is more towards the...
Am I wrong? Stop right there.
Yeah, what do I got?
Quit while you're ahead. You both have cuboid fractures.
Correct.
So a fracture of a bone in the midfoot.
Okay, got it. That's what we both have. All right,
you were close, though.
There you have it.
Cuboid fracture, midfoot sprain, basically.
So then field, and I promise we're going to get to football here in 1 second. But then, all right, so now I'm in a walking boot. I got crutches, the whole thing, and I'm going home after, you know, so this is Monday afternoon. Right, and I'm like, well, I'm in three semifinals. I'm actually in five coming to the weekend, but coming into Monday night, I'd already won two, so I have three up. I have three semifinals that are dependent on Monday night. In one, the 14 team half point PPR league that Cool Keith runs, the Bristol Bench Warmers, I'm the defending champ there. I lose by 1.9 points. Had Benny Snell, so I lose by 1.9 points. Then I'm in my longtime keeper league that I do with all my college buddies. That's my longest running fantasy football league. And I lose by 0.6. And then I'm also in, and you guys may have seen this on social media, I'm in the Agbo Superhero League. Now, I had the second most points in this league, but I had the most points against. And I am down 10 to Simu Liu, who is going to be the star of Shang-Chi that comes out next year, and it looks awesome. So I'm down to him in the semifinals. I need 10 points from Eric Ebron.
How much you get?
I got zero. He was done. I'm down 10. He had gotten that huge game from DeAndre Swift. I'm down 10. It's a 14-team league. And had I won, it's an extra $50,000 for the V Foundation. It's a $1 million charity league, the Agbo Superhero League presented by FanDuel. And they... I won $80,000 for the V Foundation for cancer research, but if I'd won and been in the finals, I would have gotten at least a $50,000 and potentially another $150,000. So it's a big, big loss. The only saving grace there, and obviously Eric Ebron on his first play, his first target, leaves the game with an injury. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. So I go 0-3. I lose by 0.6, I lose by 1.9, and I lose $50,000 for the V Foundation, and I break my foot. But if there's one saving grace there, it's that league is for charity, and Simu is playing for UNICEF Canada, also a great charity, so they get $50,000. I'm going to play for the third or fourth place game. I've got a chance at an extra $30,000 or $60,000, depending how I do against Chris Evans this week, who's also in the third and fourth place game. Shout out to Chris Pratt, who takes on Simu in the finals. But yeah, I did not have a good night last night, Field Yates.
Okay.
Well, I did not have a good night last night for everyone. A lot of bad beats last night in the Steelers and Bengals game.
Yes, there sure were. Check my Twitter for one that I think is worth sharing as well. Let's get into this game.
That one is brutal.
Yeah.
We have to share that for 1 second. And then okay. 10 seconds.
This is 10 seconds. Guy up by 0.46.
He's up
0.46. He has Juju Smith-Schuster and Eric Ebron left. His opponent has nobody left. His opponent is done. Eric Ebron gets hurt early. Zero catches. Juju, minus 0.5 points last night. Minus 0.5 points for Juju Smith-Schuster.
The guy was up and had two players and somehow lost.
Loses by 0.04.
Goes unbelievable.
Home. That is amazing. All right, let's move forward to the game itself, and let's get through a lot of stuff here. We'll start with you, Stefania. I don't know if it was a surprise or maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to it, but James Conner missed this game last night.
Yeah, I think his status was always questionable. We said that on Fantasy Football Now that it was, you know, he was coming off the COVID-19 list into the last game. And we talked about how some guys have had lingering issues or developed soft tissue injuries around it or had trouble with conditioning. Lamar Jackson referenced that. James Conner goes into his first game back and leaves early with a quad issue and hadn't really done anything in the week. So he was very much a question mark. The Steelers hadn't really talked about it. There was no hint from Mike Tomlin one way or the other. It was just like a we'll see. And then on Monday, we got the news that he was inactive. And I have to say, it didn't come as a huge surprise, but maybe just because it wasn't like an electric. There was other big news this weekend. But yeah, James Conner out and really no indication of whether he'll be available in week 16 or not.
Go ahead.
Jinx. Benny Snell comes on the radar, obviously. Benny Snell, as you mentioned just a minute ago, ended up playing a ton for the Steelers. 48 snaps to just 7 for Jalen Samuels. Played well, too. He got you 19.7 fantasy points, 84 rushing yards, 3 catches as well. Waiver wire column, Matt.
100%. And the 3 catches I thought were interesting as well, just because he's somebody that has, like, literally previously almost zero passing game involvement. So the fact that he caught a couple of passes here was pretty good, especially because, you know, we don't know the extent to Eric Ebron's injury. We don't know the extent to, you know, some of the other guys there in Pittsburgh. So as they look to generate offense, which they desperately need to, this offense looks awful. Benny Snell was one of the few bright spots in an otherwise bleak night for Pittsburgh last night that looked good, converted the touchdown as well. You know, look, I think that, yes, he is certainly on the waiver wire. The other piece here is about James Conner. You know, you always want to, like, James Conner has an inspiring story, obviously, you know, having beaten cancer and coming back. And so, you know, obviously not questioning the guy's toughness because he is incredibly tough. But man, oh man, for me, never again. Like, I never want to roster him in fantasy again. I get it. I get it. I do. Like, he's a good running back and, like, but just, man, the last 2 years, if you've rostered James Conner, and I have, it has, it's been tough.
It sure has been, yeah.
It's been tough sledding. I mean, last week, again, he leaves games early. I mean, he single-handedly, you know, killed one of my playoff teams last week. Like, you know, it's man, oh, man. It's tough. And I'll tell you what else is tough. This Steelers offense, which looks absolutely out of sync. I don't know how this team was ever undefeated. They look awful. Like, I tweeted last night, like, wait, which team has only got two wins? Yeah. Because I couldn't tell. If you didn't know the records, I mean, one team looked more dysfunctional than the other, and it wasn't the 2-10 team. They play the Colts next week, which is a pretty good defense field.
Ben Roethlisberger, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Finished as quarterback 33 for the week.
Yeah.
There are 32 teams, a backup quarterback. Marcus Mariota outscored Ben Roethlisberger. I think somebody else must have, too, because did Derek Carr have 6.7 fantasy points? I don't think he did. Somebody else must have outscored him.
Thirsty Kyle.
Chase Daniel, maybe with the Lions when Matthew Stafford went out.
Do you have a touchdown
pass? No, C.J. Beathard came in and threw the Hail Mary.
That's what it was.
There you go.
Yeah. C.J. Beathard came in and threw the Hail Mary.
Moving along here. So anyways, Matthew,
put down your pen, Thirsty Kyle. I figured it out on my own.
You got it. You're good.
Baby.
Really quick, because we got so much to get to today. Sir. If you're looking ahead to next week against the Colts, who are the Steelers, if there are any, that you say, absolutely trust that player?
Absolutely trust none.
None.
I mean, look.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson
getting the 13 targets. The fact that they keep going back to him. To me, Deontay Johnson's the most obvious guy.
He's got 10-plus targets in 9 games.
Yeah. They constantly look for him. So Deontay Johnson would be the most. But do I absolutely trust him? Yeah. Given the state of that offense, the state of what Ben looks like, and the drop issue that Deontay Johnson has had throughout this year? No. Do I absolutely trust him? I do not. But who will be my highest-ranked Steeler this week? It'll be Deontay Johnson in terms of the pass catchers.
I would agree on that. Giovanni Bernard has another nice game for the Bengals last night. 22.7 fantasy points, 83 yards, nice rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
And a nice receiving touchdown as well. Very nifty last night. Stefania, two Bengals I want to ask you about quickly. And I think one of them is, I'm basically chasing a ghost, Joe Mixon. And the other one, Tyler Boyd, he left the game very early last night. Let's get Boyd first because that, I think, is a little clearer.
Start with Tyler Boyd, who left the game with a concussion. That was his first attempt at a catch up in the air, took a hard hit, and obviously we don't know the timetable on that, but it was scary when it happened. There were a lot of hard hits last night, but so Tyler Boyd out with a concussion, did not return to the game. And then your Joe Mixon question, it was really interesting if you listen to the broadcast last night, because I can't remember if it was Lou Riddick, but or it might have been Steve Levy, but anyway, they were saying Mixon really wants to come back. Now, they're spending a lot of time with the team and doing their prep for Monday night. So I thought it was interesting that Levy, I believe it was, says Mixon really wants to come back. He's going to make an attempt to come back. He really wants to be there. And Brian Griese is like, he's not coming back. You know, and these are guys who are talking to the same people in advance of the game. And I think that really reflects what the situation is there. I have no doubt that Joe Mixon really wants to come back, is pushing to try and come back, but he's got a foot injury that, if he makes it worse, could compromise his career, and it's clearly not gotten better to the point of him even being able to practice. I just do not believe that we see him again, even though the Bengals have refused to say that's the case so far.
I actually think where this is trickiest, Matthew, is that we talked about how the best offense is good defense in championship weeks.
Yeah.
Like, if you are wondering whether what you fear is, like, hey, you drop Joe Mixon because you want to add somebody else off of the waiver.
Sure.
Like, you may not necessarily need, I'm just making this up here, Benny Snell, but you're dropping Joe Mixon to add Benny Snell. And then Wednesday, Joe Mixon's practicing, has a full week of practice, which sounds incredibly unlikely. And then he plays on Sunday, and you're like, oh, man, now I'm facing off against Joe Mixon, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, that's the part that's fearful. I think, though, at this point...
By the way, they play the Texans this week, which is a good matchup.
It's a good matchup.
So you know what, though? Just to add one final thing on that. If he did play, would you really trust him? I mean, it's a guy who has not been on the field in forever, and you have no idea how his foot would respond. So I feel like if Joe Mixon was active, you should still be looking elsewhere.
Well, my thing, Stefania, is that I wouldn't trust him, but the way that fantasy football would work is that if I drop him and my opponent in the finals picks him up and plays him on Sunday, even after, whatever, 10 weeks away, he'd have 50 fantasy points.
Come on, you sound like the guy sitting to your left.
It's 1,000%
right. Like, I'll tell you, like, so the league, the longtime keeper league, the college keeper league that I lost by 0.6 last night in the semis,
yeah.
The guy I traded with, shout out to my old college friend, Gary Giovanetti. So Gary, had a surplus of wide receivers. I had a surplus of tight ends. This is a long time. You can keep 13 a year. In that league, I have Kelce, Kittle, Waller, and Hunter Henry. And you can only play one tight end. So I had this surplus of tight ends. So since I have Kelce and Waller, I'm sorry, since I have Kelce and Kittle, I traded him in the middle of the year. I traded him Darren Waller for Kenny Galladay. Which at the time,
I remember this,
seemed like a very fair trade for both of us. It was a good tight end for him, a good wide receiver for me. Now, of course, Kenny Galladay, 2 weeks later, is basically done for the year. He, of course, uses Darren Wallace here, who goes off. I lose by 0.6.
Pretty absurd. Let's keep moving forward here.
0.6.
A lot of other injuries, Stefania. And I will just say this. This is my interpretation, and I want you to tell me I'm either right or wrong, or neither. Matt Rhule, around Monday of each of like the last couple of weeks, has maybe not necessarily been definitive, but he's at least been very leading. Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Christian McCaffrey.
I agree.
Basically like, you know what? It's probably not going to happen. His comments yesterday, Monday, made me think there's a chance we'll see Christian McCaffrey on Saturday.
Right. I think he doesn't want to get ahead of himself. So the idea is if Christian McCaffrey can return to practice and there's no issues and they'll evaluate him day by day, which is essentially what Matt Rhule said, then he has a chance to play this weekend. I think the thought is that he will play this weekend. Remember last week he was spotted at practice sort of walking around, not really able to participate yet. But if you go back a couple weeks when the quad issue popped up, it had happened. He goes to practice. It tightens up more, and then he's done. So I think they've learned, like, okay, he needs to, just because he's feeling better doesn't mean he's going to play. Let's see what happens in practice. They don't want to get ahead of themselves. But Christian McCaffrey, unlike the Joe Mixon situation we were talking about, I very much believe Christian McCaffrey will play again if he's able.
How about this? The Washington Carolina game got flexed to 4:05 on Sunday afternoon. Which we would have loved to have that at a 1 p.m. game, right? Because if Christian McCaffrey is out, at least you could pivot with a larger number of games to work with. I think we'll have great clarity, though, for Christian McCaffrey by the time
we'll
the weekend
know by
rolls
Friday.
Around.
We'll absolutely know.
Stefania, a few more here. Cam Akers, we got an
update. And by the way, I will say this. Even though Washington is a very tough defense, they are. They're a very good run defense.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And McCaffrey hasn't played since whenever. If McCaffrey's active, you're starting him.
Correct. I completely agree on that. And he's been great, even coming off of injuries this season. He has been great, like the four games he's played. Stefania,
if you're in the finals without Chris McCaffrey, by the way, kudos to you. And, yeah, you're starting him.
Stefania, Cam Akers, we got an update last night from Sean McVay, and we know exactly whether he's going to play or not on Sunday.
Yeah, he's out already. He had a high ankle sprain. I think, you know, even though they haven't said he's done for the regular season, high ankle sprain, running back, if you can read the tea leaves here, I think it'd be highly unlikely that he'd be back for week 17 either.
Oh, yeah. And of course, a bad game this past week for the entire Rams offense. But it means Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson right back into the mix, Matthew. If you had to choose one, and I looked this up today, Henderson's available in 36% of leagues, Malcolm Brown in 71%. Do you prefer one or the other?
I prefer Henderson. Now, listen, I get it. The last time these two teams played, Malcolm Brown had the two touchdowns, had 19 fantasy points. Henderson only had the one touchdown, just 10 fantasy points. They each had 8 touches the first time they played Seattle. That said, I feel like that was a little fluky, that in general, Henderson's been getting more work, that he's the guy that plays more. I think that Malcolm Brown sort of has his role, which is they like him as the pass-catching back. They use him sometimes in 2 minute. But that if Cam Akers goes out, I think it's much more likely that Darrell Henderson becomes the lead back. And again, Malcolm Brown stays in that 15 to 20 snap role where they put him in some pass pro. Maybe he increases his snap somewhat because Cam Akers isn't there. But I think Henderson gets the majority of the work here and has the better chance at a touchdown. I get it. Every once in a while they use Malcolm Brown at the goal line, but Henderson was good there for, you know, a stretch earlier in the year for the Rams. I think he's more explosive than Brown. You never know when they get in close and if they, you know, if they're doing hurry up, but I prefer Henderson to Malcolm Brown. Your thoughts?
I feel the same way. Yeah. Just like, you know, one of the guys needs to do, like, it's simple. One's much more explosive than the other. One has a chance for a big play. The other one needs to get in to the end zone from like 3 yards or less out. So, yes, I prefer Henderson to Malcolm Brown as well. Stefania, we mentioned that Christian McCaffrey has a chance to play on Sunday against Washington. Do you think Antonio Gibson has a chance to play for Washington against Carolina?
I do. And so he's been dealing with a turf toe injury, and you automatically think multi-week issue. But they're hopeful because last week he started doing some drills. A lot of times the issue with turf toe is, can you protect the toe enough so they're not going into that hyperextension position? They're not pushing off it in the same way, and yet they're still able to function. So a lot of it is getting comfortable with whatever they fashion for the foot and the shoe to see if you can still do what you need to do as a running back. And so I think that's what working through some of those drills, seeing how the toe responded. He's another one. If he gets into practice and he can practice well this week, then I think he has a shot, yes.
Okay, we'll have more on JD McKissick a little bit later. Matthew, how confident would you be, though? Like, if Antonio Gibson plays, are you like, yeah, I'm starting him? Turf toe.
Yeah, I mean, borderline. Yeah. I think it's borderline.
I feel a little bit nervous. I mean, I've got the situation on my hands, and I'm already a little bit nervous about it.
Well, who are the other options?
I have a stupid, deep running back stable.
Okay.
I drafted Chris McCaffrey.
Yep.
David Montgomery, J.K. Dobbins, Melvin Gordon. I've got Raheem Mostert. Like, I've got a lot of bodies.
You're
there.
Definitely playing Montgomery. And you're definitely playing
McCaffrey if he plays.
You're definitely playing McCaffrey and Montgomery if he plays. But even if CMC doesn't, Montgomery, and who was the third guy you mentioned?
I mentioned Melvin Gordon. Let me give you the
four. No, it wasn't Melvin Gordon.
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins. I think you're definitely playing Dobbins and Montgomery. And then, obviously, you're playing McCaffrey if he plays. I don't think I would risk Antonio Gibson, given your other options. Like, I don't know that Antonio Gibson has more upside than, say, Melvin Gordon,
right?
You know, coming off a 2-touchdown game, and doesn't have the risk that Melvin Gordon does. I mean, both guys could, you know, sort of bottom out, right, and not do much.
Yeah.
Love Antonio Gibson, but the turf toe makes me nervous. The offense under Dwayne Haskins showed some signs of life in the second half against Seattle, but inconsistent. I mean, you know, my other question is, Stefania, do you think we see Alex Smith this week, who isn't fantasy relevant, but I think he is to the rest of the Washington football team players?
Yeah, he's going to be a very much a day-by-day consideration. So it's really hard to know right now because the strain was fairly significant that kept him out. I mean, he's a guy who's pushing to play. So if he couldn't go, you know, is bothering him. And it's really going to come down to how he feels.
Okay. Well, let's move forward here with more injuries. Stefania, same division, NFC East. Ezekiel Elliott missed last week because of that calf issue. You think he might be back against Philly on Sunday?
This is a really tough call right now because remember, we thought he was going to play right up until Sunday. This was our biggest breaking news of the day on Sunday, was that he wasn't going to play. And we found out a little bit later from Mike McCarthy why he didn't play. There was some confusion as to whether it was really that the calf got worse. He had a calf contusion, which originally kept him out the week prior. And Mike McCarthy also hinted that he didn't have a lot of game plan preparation because he hadn't practiced. Well, it turns out that he... on Saturday, Zeke felt a tug in his calf. Those were the words that McCarthy used. And so that would suggest, you know, when you hear that, if somebody's coming to you as a player and saying, I felt a pull or a tug in the muscle, the immediate thing you do is back them off. And McCarthy's quote was, he felt like it wasn't in the best interest of the team for Zeke to play. So is that a setback? If it is, then I think he's at risk of missing this week again.
Well, the good news is that we know Tony Pollard's the next man up. And I think probably, Matthew, even though I know you saw this, I saw you note this on Twitter via Jared Smola about how, like, yeah, he got one big run that really turned the day into an excellent one. But still, Tony Pollard's a guy you're playing if Zeke's out.
1,000%. Look, lots of passing game usage, which is encouraging here. And the point about the Jared Smola tweet was just that he wasn't super efficient. Like, he averaged his yards per carry was really inflated by that 140-yard run, mm-hmm, that everything else wasn't. But whatever, it's a bad offensive line and wasn't a great matchup with San Francisco. What's encouraging to you if you have Tony Pollard is the overall usage. He got massive workload, and the passing game usage, right? Especially assuming you're playing in PPR or even half point PPR. They were comfortable giving it to him when they got in close, because you know his first touchdown was one that he converted from whatever 2 yards out or whatever it was. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if we knew Ezekiel Elliott was out, Tony Pollard's a top 10 play against the Eagles.
Let's get on the move here. Raheem Mostert's to find him. The 49ers play on Saturday against the Cardinals. What's the latest on his ankle?
Well, he aggravated that high ankle sprain that we knew was going to be a problem for him already throughout the year. Look, the 49ers were eliminated from the playoffs. It's really hard to envision Raheem Mostert coming back. They're not shutting him down, but just if you think about it and knowing that this ankle is a problem. And I don't really know, you know, you might know with the contract incentives that he has.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, that may be factoring into this
totally.
To some degree if he can get back a little bit.
Just a reminder for those that maybe forget it, is he had a very public standoff with the 49ers.
Right.
Pay me more money or trade me. And of course, they agreed to eventually a deal that included some money via incentives that Stefania is referencing. So while someone like Michael Thomas is cool with gearing up for the playoffs, like if you're Raheem Mostert, you wanted that money. So I'm going to defer to like the medical side here, Stefania. So that part
right.
of it is.
And the thing is, well, we saw what happened this week. He went out there and he could not finish. And that's sort of been the feeling of him for the last couple of weeks with this ankle. And if I'm playing in fantasy and I'm considering starting him, this is my concern, is that you could have the exact repeat of what we saw, where he might be able to deliver for a bit. If he feels good, he might be able to go. If not, he's out. Jeff Wilson Jr. probably going to be the focus of the run game for them.
And that's who I would prefer. Look, we saw it last week. You know, listen, it was a quarterback, obviously, with Jalen Hurts. You can run on Arizona. They're basically middle of the pack against the run, 14th over the last 4 weeks here. If we were to rank running backs that have the best chance at scoring a rushing touchdown this week, Jeff Wilson's in the top 10 in terms of who's got the best shot at scoring a rushing touchdown this week.
Sure. I would agree on that. Let's move forward here and really got to get on the move. Matthew, Ito Smith was announced as the leader of the Atlanta backfield. Do you care at all?
No.
Same here. I mean, listen, he's available in 98% of leagues.
It's still going to be a committee.
This offense, it's going to be a committee. Like, he might be the leader, but he also might have 10 touches to to Todd Gurley's 8, to Brian Hill's 7, right?
Exactly.
So,
no, thank you.
I could be wrong, but I'm not interested in playing.
Not
Edo
in week
Smith.
16.
Not
I ain't.
In a fantasy final, unless you're really desperate.
Quick question, though. Is he a player that you feel like has enough value that you need to add him as a block off of waivers for the manager that you're playing?
I think there are probably better options. Like, I'd rather go attack the quarterback market. Like,
sure.
If you think your opponent might add Baker Mayfield this week or Jalen Hurts this week, like, I might rather.
Yeah. Or like, whatever, they were asleep at the wheel and they didn't grab, like, Benny Snell last night or something like that. Or.
Yep.
Whatever. I mean, you know, there's some leagues where Tony Pollard wasn't added, you know, and now, right, yes, I agree with Field 100%. There are other players that I would prefer to block before I worried about blocking Ito Smith.
Yeah. Stefania, Kenny Galladay, Matthew brought him up earlier on in the show. Any chance we see him this week?
I don't think so. Daryl Bevel already acknowledged that they might have to begin talks about shutting him down for the rest of the season. So even though they haven't done it yet, why would he come back?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, this is a guy who they are saying, and he is saying, it's not about the contract, but he is now 2 weeks away from becoming an unrestricted free agent, absent the franchise tag. He deserves to look out for his best interests as well. I'm just going to tell you guys this news because it doesn't matter. DeSean Jackson's window to return to practice has now been open. I mean,
whatever.
We'll see. We'll see whether he even suits up, and I don't think it really matters for fantasy as
it does
well.
Not.
A couple of players that have been placed on IR or out for the regular season, just so you know, they are droppable. Michael Thomas on IR, droppable in redraft leagues. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, almost certainly out for the rest of the regular season. We'll see if he's even back for the start of the playoffs. This is a pretty significant injury he's dealing with. He is also droppable right now. Le'Veon Bell, we'll talk about a little bit later on, as he might have some value this week in your fantasy finals. We're going to come back and talk about players that were awesome last week and whether they can do it again this week. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Trust me, it can be. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year.
from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. I mean, if you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging than it already was, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, and it actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And you can see for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take the hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. I actually went on ZipRecruiter when we weren't sure if Matthew was going to make it because of the leg injury.
Yeah.
Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Truth.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Amongst the players that were great in Week 15 that we have to figure out whether we can start him again in Week 16 is Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, who went up against the, who did they play last week? The Bucs, and he was great. 27.8 fantasy points. Matthew, just, I want to sort of phrase each of these because we have a ton of names to get to. Do you trust him against the Chiefs this weekend in a fantasy final? Yeah, you're
not. I do not.
Okay, me
especially
well.
Not at Kansas City.
Yeah,
no,
I feel the
you.
Same way. Like, I think if we have, like, you know, big disagreements here, I think we can sort of expand upon it.
Sure.
I think most people get the reason why we don't trust Matt Ryan. He's been up and down this season. Julio Jones is iffy for this game, amongst other concerns.
If Ryan, Julio plays, does that change your mind?
No. I have trust
issues.
A
little bit just because I think there might be points scored here. But weirdly, I actually think the Falcons' defense is I know Brady had a monster second half against him, but Falcons have played better defense as of recent. But listen, if you have made it to Week 16, you've done it because you have another quarterback than
sure.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that's exactly
so, and I would play yep. whoever that is. Like, and I think I'd prefer. Like, I haven't done my rankings yet. That's the next thing on my list. But like, my guess is I'll have Jalen Hurts higher. But like, I bet I have breaking once I do my projections. I bet you Baker Mayfield comes in higher. Like, there'll be other guys that
there
you should
certainly
consider.
Options. Ryan Tannehill goes up against the Packers on Sunday night. I feel like sometimes what happens with quarterbacks facing off against the Packers is they're just getting bludgeoned so badly that they just like work themselves into mistakes. The Packers have also, and I'm not holding this against them, they don't choose the schedule. They have one win this year against a team with a winning record. They have not played a bunch of barn burner offenses. Trusting Ryan Tannehill?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think the Packers' defense will focus, rightfully so, on stopping Derrick Henry. And we'll see what, when you do that, that just sets up play action. With a healthy A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, and the fact that, you know, the Titans' defense isn't great, and we think Rodgers has a nice game here, I do trust Ryan Tannehill, you bet.
Yeah, he's quarterback two over the past 5 games.
Right, and if you go, by the way, and you go back to the middle of last year, like, since he's been a starter for the Titans, he's QB9 on a points per game basis. He's ahead of Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees, among others. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback going back, dating back, ding, till the middle of last
wow.
year.
David Johnson had a huge game through the air last week, had a career high 11 catches for 106 yards. And I'm trusting him again this week. They play the Bengals, and the Bengals were, I mean, so much credit to the Bengals last night. They could have easily rolled over and just said, all right, whatever, 14-1, we're fine with it. 2-13-1. They won. They played gutty football last night. But the run defense is still very suspect, so I'm trusting David Johnson. You?
Trust is a strong word here. Yeah, I think he's potentially usable. My only concern is he's been bad running the ball for quite some time. Will the passing game usage from last week continue this week? We haven't seen it all year long. I don't know that Cincinnati gets the kind of pressure on Deshaun Watson to force the dump off to David Johnson that we saw in the game against Indianapolis. So
fair
that's
enough.
My only
yeah.
concern. But, you know, do I think he's one of the top 25 running backs this week? I do, meaning is he a RB1 or 2 or even a very usable flex? I do. So to there, I agree with you.
So if Antonio Gibson sits for the Washington football team, J.D. McKissick, who last week was running back 4 on the week, 25.7 fantasy points, you trust him?
100% you trust him if Antonio Gibson's out. And I think he's a viable flex even if Antonio Gibson plays. We don't know what kind of workload Antonio Gibson will get. And even when Gibson was active and rolling and getting all those touchdowns, McKissick was a usable fantasy piece, right? He's still involved. He was actually splitting touches with Gibson. They use him in the passing game. Look, it's not like Washington has so many options that they're like, sorry, McKissick, we just got all these mouths to feed over here, you know? Like, you know, Steven Sims and Cam Sims demand the rock. Like, right. Who are we kidding here? Like, I mean, it's Terry McLaurin. It's Logan Thomas. It's Antonio Gibson. He's active. And J.D. McKissick, who they like a lot in Washington, who is, by the way, who's been really good since coming over. So I think he's, if Gibson's active, I think he's a viable flex play in PPR. And I think he's a legit top 15 play in PPR if Gibson is out.
So I think with Antonio Brown, you have to sort of ignore previous numbers. Even though he's coming off of a good game, he had been quiet up to that point since joining the Buccaneers after week 8, of course. Do you trust him against the Lions? Because my thought process is basically the matchup doesn't concern you at all.
Nope.
And you know that in this offense, even if it's ugly, you know they have a lot of pieces that they can get the ball in the end zone to. Are you willing to roll the dice on Antonio Brown?
I will say it's one of these things that's sort of what have you been doing up till now?
Right.
Like if you've been rolling with Antonio Brown, then obviously coming off of his best game and a great matchup, you start him again. But if you've gotten to week 16 without Antonio Brown, to your point, there is risk there because you've got Gronk, you've got Evans, you've got Godwin, you have the running backs. You have Scotty Miller that could catch a long one. Like, it's just, there are a lot of mouths to feed in Tampa Bay. Somebody will have a good game against Detroit, likely more than one person. But whether it's Antonio Brown remains to be seen because they've done a nice job of spreading the targets around between Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown among the wide receivers. They all average about the same amount of targets since Brown has joined the Buccaneers. So it just sort of depends on the depth of your team and who else you have. I will say that if you are, you know, if you're sort of hurting a little bit and you're looking for a guy, he's somebody that's going to get a decent amount of targets and a great matchup coming off of his best game of the year. So I don't mind starting Antonio Brown, but is there a risk there? Of course.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I think, like, it's Antonio Brown. He could score 20 points again. Wouldn't surprise me. He also, based off of the fact that they've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk, he could have 4 catches for 62 yards. Wouldn't surprise me either.
The two games prior to this 20-point game, he had 13 points total in the two games combined. Like, you know, so anyway, it just, what's your tolerance for risk and what are your other options there? He is truly the ultimate risk-reward play. How lucky do you feel?
Smart lineup decision is informed by IBM Watson. Amongst the many features that Watson presents are boom and bust percentages. They give you the outlook on player. They give you the player news. They give you everything you need to know about a player and whether he should be started in a particular week. This week's decision surrounds Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, who had 6 catches, a season high this past week, for 98 yards, 15.8 fantasy points. He had back-to-back-to-back games with a touchdown prior to that. How lucky do you feel? I'm still not convinced on this one. Matthew, are you like...
No.
I think it's fine. I think he has certainly, it's worked in his favor for back-to-back-to-back weeks, but I'm not totally sold that this is like a must-start wide receiver.
Definitely not a must-start wide receiver. Let's see if they get James Bradbury back, by the way, the Giants, because if they do, you would think he would shadow Marquise Brown. Look, he scored in a couple of games, and it's been nice because, by the way, sort of goes hand-in-hand. Lamar Jackson has been, right? You know, as Lamar Jackson's improved, so has Marquise Brown in terms of both their fantasy productions. It's not a matchup that scares you, especially if Bradbury's out. But again, so if Bradbury's out, I'm probably more likely than not starting Marquise Brown. But it's sort of the same conversation we just had with Antonio Brown. Like, there's a boom-bust element to this player, and it's a little bit of what's your matchup like? Do you need to swing for the fences, or you just need solid production that, you know, you can count on? And also, what other options do you have? As always, check our rankings all the way up until Sunday. They get updated Saturday night and Sunday morning. So, and, you know, tune into Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, ESPN2, 10 a.m. Eastern. On the deuce, I am a company man.
Da-da-da.
Daniel had it.
Specific to Hollywood Brown, by the way. IBM Watson gives him a 27% chance to boom, which would mean 17.5 points or better. I'm taking the under there. I know, he's been good over the past 4 games, but I'm taking the under there on Marquise Brown.
They told me Eric Ebron was going to boom last night, too.
This is tough for me because when I look at the schedule this week, a player like him who's so, like, boom or bust, there's 4 games before we even get to the 1 o'clock games, And then the idea that, like, I don't even, like, it's not even, it, to me, that Marquise Brown decision is going to be how bad did I fare over the weekend rather than anything else.
I actually think that's a great point, right? Because you know, like, coming into this weekend, like, you could easily, like, oh, I faced Darren Waller and Justin Herbert, you know, and whatever. Or you're like, you know what? Like, I played against a guy that had Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, and Mike Davis. And you're like, you know what? Like, I feel pretty good, actually, about yep. where I'm at, because, that those are three players that performed under expectations, you know, but Waller and Herbert both had monster games. So I think that's a great point, sort of seeing where you're at after those four games, coming into Sunday morning and realizing this is what I need. I need more upside, or I just need more solid count on a production. Yeah. Great point, Daniel. Nice job there.
Thanks, Matthew.
Daniel, well doing done. A great job. Last
you most of the year, but you got there. You finally you contributed in a big way.
Yeah. My shoulder is sore. I think it is rubbing off here, by the way. I just got like a shoulder.
Is it?
A little tweak.
By the way, for people that can't see, like, one of us got into the Christmas spirit. I wore an ugly Christmas sweater, and no one else did.
That's not ugly. It's actually really cool. It's got a little light that flickers, too. We got to keep moving here. We got a ton of stuff to get to.
This is the Stranger Things sweater for people that are,
Tyler Higbee for the Seahawks had a good game last week, Matthew. Whatever. You're not, are you trusting him?
No,
could he have a good game? Sure. But he also could have a 2-point game. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I would not be hedging. I would not be sort of confidently expecting my win to be determined by Tyler Higbee's performance against the Seahawks. Time now to live Truly. And Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in four refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly hard seltzer. Live Truly. All right, let's roll through players that have struggled or been good surprisingly recently. Are you playing him in the finals? Again, Matthew, here we go. Russell Wilson, 12 fantasy points. Trusting him, yes or no?
No.
Wow. I feel ya. I'm with you. I mean, he's been under 15.5 fantasy points in three of his past four games. It's not a good matchup. If you look at what he has done against the Rams, for like 4 years now, he has struggled against the Rams. There are other options. Like, if I had Jalen Hurts available, I would play him over Russell Wilson.
Look, when my love-hate list comes out later this week, Russell Wilson's going to be on it. And, like, that makes me nervous. Like totally. You know, like, you never want to put – listen, guys, like, you know, I put a lot of thought into the love-hate list, and obviously sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But, like, I always make it nervous, like, because then you'll see it on, like, scrolls and stuff that Matthew Berry, quote, hates Russell Wilson. And he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But this offense, since week 11, is 19th in pass rate. And getting Rashad Penny back and Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson, I think they're going to want to run the game here. I don't think there's a particularly positive – I don't think you see a ton of possessions in this game. I think you see two teams that want to play a little bit more ball control than normal, especially because we don't expect Jared Goff to light up the Seahawks here. And this is going to be a playoff-type game between these two teams that obviously, because with the loss to the Jets, the Rams have sort of opened the door here. Like, I don't know. I just think this is going to be a low-scoring, ugly game between two really good defenses. Seattle's defense has played better recently. Russell Wilson, man, makes me nervous against the Rams. He has not played well even when he was rolling. And now, to your point, under 15.5 points in three of the past four games. Given all the options that are available on the waiver wire, Russell Wilson can be outside my top 10 this week.
How about Baker Mayfield?
I do, actually. I would actually trust him because of the schedule at the Jets. I get it. Jared Goff struggled, whatever. But the Jets, where the Jets are strong defensively is on their defensive line. Baker Mayfield's a mobile quarterback. He ain't Jalen Hurts. He's not Kyler Murray. But he is somebody that is hard to sack. Like, he is somebody that's athletic enough. And that's an offensive line that I think will play well and will study the film from the Rams and be like, we got to make sure Baker has time. And given how good the run game is with run game is for Cleveland, it's going to set up play action. Four straight games with over 18 fantasy points, multiple touchdown passes in each one of those games. Only Aaron Rodgers has more touchdown passes over the last 4 weeks than Baker Mayfield. Yes, I would trust him this week against the Jets.
Yeah, I'm having a harder time for one super selfish, silly reason, is that I trusted Jared Goff in a semifinal last week against the Jets. It came far too close for comfort is what I would say.
So you won, though, right?
I won, but it was...
I understand. You had to sweat it.
The other option was Jalen Hurts.
Oh, well, you should have gotten with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Check my rankings. Check my rankings. Why didn't you check my rankings, Field Yates? Stop looking at your own.
He did.
Check
he
mine.
Did.
I had Hurts over Goff.
He did check yours, and then he
ignored him.
Went the other way.
Yeah, I know.
But yes, other than that, I would trust Baker Mayfield. All right, Kareem Hunt had a bad game in terms of fantasy on Sunday night. 5.8 fantasy points, but the previous Monday night, Matthew, you had 29 fantasy points.
Dude.
I think this is sort of like, if you've been rolling with him, you keep rolling with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, He's that wasn't a waiver wire ad, right? Like, yeah. You see the up and down.
The weird part against that game against the Giants is they just didn't use Kareem Hunt in the passing game that much, which has been what they've done most of the year. Jets allow the third most running back catches per game. My expectation here is that Hunt is more involved, and I think he's a viable RB2 against the Jets.
Let's rip through some of these as well. J.K. Dobbins, you're trusting him. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, he's been good in back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. He's a rushing touchdown in four straight games. Maybe that does not happen again in a fifth game, but the workload's been good. Mark Ingram was a healthy scratch. Gus Edwards is getting some carries for sure, but J.K. Dobbins is like a top 20 to 22-ish running back option this week, and I would think, again, in week 17.
Agreed.
Brandon Ayuk, you're playing Brandon Ayuk. Come on. I mean, just the volume, right? I mean, Stefania.
How's this even a question?
I don't know. But he has 14.5 fantasy points in six straight games. He has at least nine targets in each of those two games. And Stefania.
He's all they got, and they're looking for him a ton. And by the way, crazy talented player.
Okay. Super talented guy.
But let me ask you this question. What if George Kittle comes back this week?
Ask her. Stefania, do you think Debo Samuel or George Kittle might be back? I know. Maybe we should talk to Matthew about this.
Like. George Kittle, who's got that Matthew Berry injury, as it's well known now within the industry.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Debo Samuel, look, when he injured his hamstring, Kyle Shanahan at that time said that he was out for the remainder of the regular season. So there's no reason. They're not going to the playoffs. So there's no reason for Debo Samuel to come back. I don't think he'll be back. George Kittle, on the other hand, is pushing to come back. Now, we hit like the 8-week mark. It was always talked about being an 8-week injury. And I think this is one of those where he's going to lobby really hard to play. They're going to need to be convinced that he's not at risk of re-injury, because it's certainly not how they want to enter the offseason. But if George Kittle has his way, I think he has a chance to play.
Interesting. Okay. They play on Saturday, so we'll obviously have a heads up on that by Saturday afternoon. Can't wait to watch that one. T.Y. Hilton, Matthew, he had a pretty solid game this past week. 11.1 fantasy points. As we know, he had 80-plus yards and a touchdown in three straight games. You trust in T.Y. Hilton against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I sort of am.
Okay.
I mean, like, first off, like, Pittsburgh ain't as scary as they used to be, right? I mean, like, look, I get it. It's still a pretty good defense. It still plays pretty well. But, you know, over the last, they're middle of the pack now against wide receivers. The Steelers, in fact, over the last 4 weeks are, you know, they're 12th in terms of scoring defense, so there's going to be closer. Like, my guess is that T.Y. Hilton comes in for me somewhere inside my top 30, but just inside my top 30.
Okay.
So more of a wide receiver 3 for me this week.
How about DJ Moore? I feel the same way. He's a wide receiver 3. Like, if you've been riding him recently, like, he has helped you. I'm not against it. But
it's a tougher matchup.
Yeah, you didn't get there because of T.Y., so if you have a great other option, then I would consider it. How about DJ Moore, who's just been so hit or miss this year? He's coming off of a big game, 19.1 fantasy points this past week. You playing him against a Washington defense is pretty good.
Yeah, probably likely am. But again, he's another one that, like, it's like he's similar. I prefer him to Hilton because he's been more consistent for longer. But, like, it certainly wouldn't shock me if DJ Moore does not have a good game. This is obviously, it's a big matchup for Washington. Playoff implications on the line. DJ Moore facing his former head coach in Ron Rivera. If there's a guy that would know, hey, this is what we're going to do to DJ Moore, I think it would be Coach Rivera. So I think there's more risk with DJ Moore this week than there has been normally. Teddy Bridgewater has been up and down, let's be honest with you. So I think he's another risk-reward wide receiver 3. So would I trust him? Is he a must-start? He is not. I understand why you would consider him, but there's certainly some areas for concern. If there's anything that's positive here, listen, he's had over 19 fantasy points in three of the last four games. By hook or by crook, they found a way to get the ball to DJ Moore. So, like I said, for me, a risk-reward wide receiver 3 this week.
Coming off of his worst game of the season, do you trust Robbie Anderson? 2 catches for 21 yards, 5 targets?
I don't think so. Under 12 fantasy points in three of the last five. He's scored one touchdown since week one. He's had one touchdown since week one. He's somebody that needs a big play. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is that for him, like, and one of the nice thing to Robbie Anderson, by the way, they increased his route tree. Like, he hasn't been just a deep threat with Carolina this year.
Post Adam Gase.
Right. There you go. Another post Adam Gase guy. But having said that, the defensive line for Washington is so good, it's hard for plays to develop down the field. And so if Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore or even Curtis Samuel are to have big games in this one, it's going to have to be a lot of dump off passes where they get yards after the catch. And complicating all this further is, hey, there's a chance Chris McCaffrey is active for this game, which, and you know, he's going to touch the ball a lot more than Mike Day. You know, he's going to touch the ball 20 plus times.
Yeah, I'm with you. And also, like, Teddy Bridgewater, man.
Inconsistent.
Like, I wonder if there are teams shopping for quarterbacks this offseason. Of course, they have a new general manager, or they will at some point after the team parted ways with Marty Herney. Perhaps a new general manager has a new vision for the quarterback spot, or at least a potential investment in one. A couple of streaming defensive options. I'd be interested to see if you're in or out. The Chargers against the Broncos. Drew Lock looked really bad until like the end of last week against the Buffalo Bills. You in on the Chargers, whose defense has dealt with a ton of injuries this year?
I am, by the way. I believe, and Thursday Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the Broncos have the most turnovers of any team in the NFL this year.
Oh, interesting. I'm sure. Wow.
Thursday Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But okay. I believe that's the correct. I do like the Chargers as a streaming defense this week.
Yeah, 7 times this season, a defense has scored 10-plus fantasy points against the Denver Broncos. As we know, though, like it's so difficult to project these. How about the Cardinals, though, who have been a good fantasy defense at times this season? Over the past 2 weeks, they have 14 sacks and 27 fantasy points against a 49ers offense that will probably start Nick Mullins, but it could be C.J. Beathard, I suppose. As we know, quarterback has been a problem for San Francisco this year.
It really has. They allow the 7th most fantasy points to opposing defenses. Like they made the Dallas Cowboys defense fantasy viable last week. So, yeah, I do like the Cardinals. In fact, I think I prefer the Cardinals to the Chargers if you're streaming a defense. Also worth noting, by the way, a lot of teams have dropped the Bears. I've seen now, I don't think they're over 50%, but I want to say the Bears are out there in like 40%.
Interesting, yeah.
They play the Jags this week.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and they're obviously they're running the ball much more effectively these days. Like, you know, I think the Bears become an interesting streamer as well if they are available in your league.
Phil, I just want to say one thing real quick before we get into this next segment.
Yeah.
Just a reminder. I know I quickly said it earlier when talking about Marquise Brown, but there is a game on Friday. There is 3 games on Saturday. There's 11 games on Sunday. There is a game on Monday. This is a week where you have to, over the weekend, continually check back in on your fantasy lineup to see what news has come out and follow everybody here on social media, Stefania, Matthew Field, to see what has happened and what's transpired, because it's not just a set of Thursday lineup and then check in on Sunday and see what's going on with these finals. Like, you're going to have to continually come back and make sure that there's not new news that you need to be aware of. So just saying that, assuming that everybody would echo that same sentiment.
Well said all the way around there, Daniel. And by the way, Kyle confirms the Broncos do have a league-high 30 turnovers this season. Well done by Matthew to pull that one there.
Bunch of stuff right today.
So the Chargers could be a defense or streaming defensive option for this upcoming week. All right, we had sort of an idea of like an early hot take for week 16. I'm not sure how hot these are, but these are at least some takes, some thoughts. And earlier I was talking about how, like, I personally am having a hard time wanting to play Baker Mayfield because of what happened to me last week when playing a quarterback against the Jets defense. But I am trusting him for you out there that wants to play Baker Mayfield. I am trusting Baker Mayfield. And, of course, I'm trusting Jalen Hurts. I got both of them inside my top 10 this week. Jalen Hurts inside my top 5. 2 guys who are going to be very worthwhile this week, week 16. I understand the perils of potentially switching up your quarterback spot because it's a spot where you only play one guy all season. And if you have someone that has been good recently, like if you have a Lamar Jackson, who at one point this season seemed like you could at least consider other options, right? If you have one of those type players, don't bother. But if you've made it this far and you've been leaning on somebody like, I'm just going to start, yeah, we talked about Matt Ryan. Even Tom Brady's had some inconsistent moments. Russell Wilson's an example of a guy that I would play, these two options over. Those are the kind of quarterbacks you can replace this week and play Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts. Of course, a preference being Jalen Hurts. Stefania, what's your take here?
My hot take is that the Rams losing to the Jets was actually a good thing. It was a little kick in the rear end that they needed. They're going to be very angry. I say they're going to sweep Seattle, and this is going to push the Rams to be leading the NFC West going into the playoffs. Okay. Russell Wilson did not have a good game against the Rams the last time they played. You guys already referenced that, but he was 22 of 37. It was the second lowest passing output of the 10 weeks to that point. Well, 9 weeks. There was a bye week in there, but Russell Wilson, they have his number. I think Aaron Donald is such a disruptor. It'll force him to scramble. And I think that Aaron Donald angry is trouble for anybody.
All right, what do you got, Daniel?
All right, mine this week is that I am not trusting Tyler Lockett unless I am down big after the 1 p.m. games. If there's a wide receiver with a safer floor, I'm absolutely going with him over Tyler Lockett. But like I said, that boomer bust potential with what's going on, if you realize that you are down big at that point in the week, you got to find somebody that could potentially go off, and Tyler Lockett's that kind of guy. But if there's any way I can keep him out of my lineup, I am doing that this week. I just do not trust him in the fantasy championship.
Yeah, so if the projections are telling you like you're down by or you're going to lose by like 25 or 30 with Tyler Lockett still available, you're running him out there.
Absolutely.
If it's tight, then you're saying, stay away.
Like, give me somebody that I know will give me more guaranteed points to help it, you know, my team from that perspective.
As Kyle notes, he's got one top 30 finish since his huge week 7 against the Cardinals. Matthew, your hot take. Check the screen. What do we got?
Ooh, Matthews, what does it say on the screen? Question mark. Didn't get it into us on time to build the graph.
I didn't even realize.
Here's my surprise face.
I was dealing with my broken foot. I didn't even realize I needed it.
Oh, here we go.
You guys know that Matthew actually types emails with his toes.
Yeah, like text a brother and let me know what I need to, you know, what I need to do.
You know, because it's not enough to get the show email
that tells
you what to do. You need your own separate additional communication.
Stefania, I check email with my right foot. Everyone knows that.
Look, I was on call for you last night, and I still got my hot take in.
You have a hot take, Matthew? You have something off the top of your head?
Well, I would have said what Field said, too, is that I agree that, like, sort of Baker and Jalen Hurts. But no, you know what?
Now my take just got cold.
Here you go. I'll give you two hot takes.
Okay.
Number one is Washington goes to Carolina and wins for Coach Rivera and beats him. They don't know who their quarterback is as of this morning. I will just tell you that. But so first off,
check social media.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going to say. Like there's a lot. Check social media. There's a lot going on in the quarterback room of the Washington professional football team. So that's actually a hotter take than you think of right now. So number one is I still think regardless of who the quarterback is, I say Washington gets it done and beats Carolina for Coach Rivera. And number two, Russell Wilson outside the top 12 of quarterbacks this week.
There you have it.
That's my hot take for week 16.
Hot take. We have a couple minutes here, so just a few housekeeping notes, by the way. Fantasy Focus is actually back on
Thursday.
DFS CSS podcast, right?
That's right. CSS DFS. Me, CSS, Mike, and DFS. Al, we're going to come do that. Our friend Scott Spratt from Football Outsiders is going to join us for a little bit.
Terrific.
To drop by.
And right, and so basically, while it is DFS focused, they will be talking about players and games and updates.
Absolutely. Mike Clay is full of great information, even if it's not DFS specific.
Mike Clay is full of great information. Daniel is full of it. So you will get a lot of stuff. And we love Al Zeidenfeld.
Yeah, he's great.
And Scott Spratt always does a great job, too. So a lot of great information coming to you on Thursday's podcast, plus Daniel. So anyway, check that out because they'll obviously have updates and injury news and everything like that. Obviously, you know, Mike, who does all the projections for us here at ESPN. So check that out. Follow Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram at Field Yates. Follow Stefania _ESPN on Twitter and at Stefania Bell on the gram, at Daniel Dopp on Twitter and at Something to Break on Instagram. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. Of course, Kyle is at Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning on ESPN2 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Fantasy Show, new episode. There's an episode right now up of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus that is our sort of week 15 recap, our week 16 waiver show.
Yep.
And then we will also have a show on Wednesday afternoon that will post. That will be our week 16 preview show. So there'll be two episodes of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus for you to enjoy. My Love Hate column comes out on Thursday as well. Field Your Free Agent Finds column.
Already up.
Check both of those out on ESPN Plus. And I think
that's really it. I just want to say
we got you covered. And of course, obviously the rankings will be up later today.
Yeah, it's been an amazing season. I know we're not quite there yet. We're almost done. But every time we get to this, you know, holiday time, I always feel so thankful that I get to be able to work with you guys. It really is a gift for me to have you guys that I work with, you know, on a daily basis throughout the season. So I just want to say I appreciate all of you guys and love being able to work with each of you.
And I just want to say, Daniel, just real quickly, I agree with you. It is a gift for
it
you
is
to
a
walk.
Gift. Thank you. I was wondering.
Work with
I knew
all
it,
of us.
I knew there was going to be something.
It really is a gift for you, and you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks. Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome. Yeah.
We all echo Daniel's sentiments. We love being a part of this team together. To all you that have a holiday, whatever holiday you're celebrating right now or have celebrated recently, happy holidays. You all be Absolutely. Safe during these next few days. Enjoy the football starting on Friday.
And in all seriousness, though, as much as I love, and I do, and I love working with Daniel, with you, Field, with Stefania, with Kyle, with Matt Harrington, and Not Cool Keith, and Jackson Agello, and our director Lisa, and Haley, and everyone that works on the show, we love all of you. We really love the fans. 0601 Nation is unbelievable. The show is nothing without you guys. The love and support you guys have shown us throughout the years is amazing. We wish you have a great, happy, safe holiday, and more importantly, a big fantasy victory this weekend.
Good luck to you all. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Peace out and peace on earth.
You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy. Focus.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.